We are continuing Chapter 2 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. And now Uncle Vernon has finally sort of just yelled, and he really just wants to know what's going on. Remember?
Yep.
Okay. "What now?" said Harry impatiently. "Dudley," roared Uncle Vernon, "I want to know exactly what happened to my son." "Fine," yelled Harry, and in his temper, red and gold sparks shot out of the end of his wand, still clutched in his hand. All three Dursleys flinched, looking terrified. "Dudley and I were in the alleyway between Magnolia Crescent and Wisteria Walk," said Harry, speaking fast, fighting to control his temper. "Dudley thought he'd be smart with me. I pulled up my wand, but didn't use it. Then two Dementors turned up." "But what are Dementoids?" asked Uncle Vernon furiously. "What do they do?" "I told you, they suck all the happiness out of you," said Harry. "If they get the chance, they kiss you." "Kiss you?" said Uncle Vernon, his eyes popping slightly. "Kiss you?" "It's what they call it when they suck the soul out of your mouth." Aunt Petunia uttered a soft scream.
His soul? They didn't take his... He's still got his..."
She seized Dudley by the shoulders and shook him, as though testing to see whether she could hear his soul rattling around inside him. "Of course they didn't get his soul. You'd know if they had," said Harry, exasperated. "Fought him off, did you, son?" said Uncle Vernon loudly, with the appearance of a man struggling to bring the conversation back onto a plane he understood. "Gave him the old 1-2, did you?" "You can't give a Dementor the old 1-2, said Harry through clenched teeth. "Why is he all right, then?" blustered Uncle Vernon. "Why isn't he all empty, then?"
"Because I used the Patronus."
Man, Harry's so bad at explaining things.
I know, you've said that before. It's true.
Whoosh! With a clattering, a whirring of wings, and a soft fall of dust, a fourth owl came shooting through the kitchen fireplace. "For God's sakes!" roared Uncle Vernon, pulling great clumps of hair out of his mustache, something he hadn't been driven to in a long time. "I will not have owls here. I will not tolerate this, I tell you." But Harry was already pulling a roll of parchment from the owl's leg. He was so convinced that this letter had to be from Dumbledore, explaining everything. The Dementors, Mrs. Fig, what the Ministry was up to, how he, Dumbledore, intended to sort everything out, that for the first time in his life he was disappointed to see Sirius's handwriting. Ignoring Uncle Vernon's ongoing rant about the owls and narrowing his eyes against a second cloud of dust, as the most recent owl took off back up the chimney, Harry read Sirius's message. "Arthur just told us what's happened. Don't leave the house again, whatever you do." Harry found this such an inadequate response to everything that had happened tonight that he turned the piece of parchment over, looking for the rest of the letter. There was nothing else there. And now his temper was rising again. Wasn't anybody going to say well done for fighting off two Dementors single-handedly? Both Mr. Weasley and Sirius were acting as though he'd misbehaved, and they were saving their tellings off until they could ascertain how much damage had been done. A pack of owls shooting in and out of my house? I won't have it, boy, I won't! "I can't stop the owls coming," Harry snapped, crushing Sirius's letter in his fist.
"I want the truth about what happened tonight," barked Uncle Vernon. "If it was Dementors who hurt Dudley, how come you've been expelled? You did, you know what, you've admitted it."
Harry took a deep, steadying breath. His head was beginning to ache again. He wanted more than anything to get out of the kitchen, away from the Dursleys. "I did the Patronus charm to get rid of the Dementors," he said, forcing himself to remain calm. "It's the only thing that works against them."
"But what were the Dementoids doing in Little Whinging?" said Uncle Vernon in tones of outrage.
"Couldn't tell you," said Harry wearily. "No idea." His head was pounding in the glare of the strip lighting now. His anger was ebbing away. He felt drained and exhausted. The Dursleys were all staring at him.
"It's you," said Uncle Vernon forcibly. "It's got something to do with you, boy. I know it. Why else would they turn up here? Why else would they be down that alleyway? You've got to be the only... Evidently, he couldn't bring himself to say the word wizard. "The only you-know-what for miles."
I don't know why they were here. But at these words of Uncle Vernon's, Harry's exhausted brain ground back into action. Why had the Dementors come to Little Whinging? How could it be a coincidence that they had arrived in the alleyway where Harry was? Had they been sent? Had the Ministry of Magic lost control of the Dementors? Had they deserted Azkaban and joined Voldemort, as Dumbledore had predicted they would? These Dumbledores guard some weirdo's prison, said Uncle Vernon, lumbering in the wake of Harry's train of thought. Yes, said Harry. If only his head would stop hurting, if he could just leave the kitchen, get to his dark bedroom, and think. Oh, they were coming to arrest you, said Uncle Vernon, with a triumphant air of a man reaching an unassailable conclusion. That's it, boy, isn't it? You're on the run from the law. Of course I'm not, said Harry, shaking his head, as though to scare off a fly, his mind racing now. Then why? He must have sent them, said Harry quietly, more to himself than Uncle Vernon. What's that? Who must have sent them? Lord Voldemort, said Harry. He registered how strange it was that the Dursleys, who flinched, winced, and squawked, if they heard the words wizard, magic, or wand, could hear the name of the most evil wizard of all time without the slightest tremor. Lord, hang on, said Uncle Vernon, his face screwed up, a look of dawning comprehension on his piggy eyes. I've heard that name. That was the one who... Murdered my parents, yes, said Harry dully. But he's gone, Uncle Vernon said impatiently, without the slightest sign of that the murder of Harry's parents might be a painful topic to anyone. The giant bloke said so. He's gone. He's back, said Harry heavily. It felt very strange to be standing here in Aunt Petunia's surgically clean kitchen, beside the top-of-the-range fridge and the widescreen television, talking calmly of Lord Voldemort to Uncle Vernon. The arrival of Dementors in Little Whinging seemed to have caused a breach in the great invisible wall that divided the relentlessly non-magical world of Privet Drive and the world beyond Harry's two lives had somehow become fused, and everything had been turned upside down. The Dursleys were asking for details about the magical world, and Mrs. Fig knew Albus Dumbledore. Dementors were soaring around Little Whinging, and he might never go back to Hogwarts. Harry's head throbbed more painfully. Back, whispered Aunt Petunia. She was looking at Harry as she had never looked at him before. All of a sudden, for the first time in his life, Harry fully appreciated that Aunt Petunia was his mother's sister. He could not have said why this hit him so very powerfully at this moment. All he knew was that he was not the only person in this room who had an inkling of what Lord Voldemort being back might mean. Aunt Petunia had never in her life looked at him like that before. Her large, pale eyes, so unlike her sister's, were not narrowed in dislike or anger. They were wide and fearful. The furious pretense that Aunt Petunia had maintained all of Harry's life, that there was no magic and no world other than the world she inhabited with Uncle Vernon, seemed to have fallen away. Yes, Harry said, talking directly to Aunt Petunia now. He came back a month ago. I saw him. Her hands found Dudley's massive leather-clad shoulders and clutched them. Hang on, said Uncle Vernon, looking from his wife to Harry and back again. Apparently dazed and confused. Oh, that's a Led Zeppelin song. By the unprecedented... You didn't react.
I didn't hear you.
Oh. They said Uncle Vernon is apparently dazed and confused, and that's a Led Zeppelin song.
I know.
He was dazed and confused for so long, it's not you. Mourning a woman or something for you? I don't know. Anyways. By the unprecedented... It's hard to understand their lyrics.
I know.
So he was dazed and confused by the unprecedented understanding that seemed to have sprung up between them. Hang on. This Lord Voldy thing's back, you say? Yes. The one who murdered your parents? Yes. And now he's sending dismembers after you? looks like it, said Harry. I see. Said Uncle Vernon, looking from his white-faced wife to Harry and hitching up his truck. Okay, we will pause. And we're back. Let's see where we were. Okay.
It's like that Google does that, Gmail.
What?
And we're back.
And we're back. Oh, yeah, yeah. It does. That's funny. Okay, so Uncle Vernon just said, I see, looking from his white-faced wife to Harry and hitching up his trousers. He seemed to be swelling, his great purple face stretching before Harry's eyes. Well, that settles it, he said, his shirt front straining as he inflated himself. You can get out of this house, boy. What? Said Harry. You heard me out, Uncle Vernon bellowed, and even Aunt Petunia and Dudley jumped up. Out, out. I should have done it years ago. Owls treating the place like a rest home, puddings exploding, half the lounge destroyed, Dudley's tail, Marge bobbing around down the ceiling, and that flying Ford Anglia. Get out. You've had it. You're history. You're not staying here if some loony's after you. You're not endangering my wife and son. You're not bringing trouble down on us. If you're going the same way as your useless parents, I've had it. Out. Harry stood rooted to the spot. The letters from the ministry, Mr. Weasley and Sirius, were crushed in his left hands. Don't leave the house again, whatever you do. Do not leave your aunt and uncle's house. You heard me, said Uncle Vernon, bending forward now so that his massive purple face came closer to Harry's, so that Harry actually felt flecks of spit hit his face. Get going. You were all keen to leave half an hour ago. I'm right behind you. Get out and never darken our doorstep again. Why we ever kept you in the first place, I don't know. Marge was right. It should have been for an orphanage. We were too damn soft for our own good. Thought we could squash it out of you. Thought we could turn you normal. You've been rotten from the beginning, and I've had enough. Owls. The fifth owl zoomed down the chimney so fast, it actually hit the floor before zooming into the air again with a loud screech. Harry raised his hand to seize the letter, which was in a scarlet envelope, but it soared straight over his head, flying directly at Aunt Petunia, who let out a scream and ducked her arms over her face. The owl dropped the red envelope on her head, turned, and flew straight up the chimney again. Harry darted forward to pick up the letter, but Aunt Petunia beat him to it. You can open it if you like, said Harry, but I'll hear what it says anyways. That's a howler. Let go of it, Petunia, roared Uncle Vernon. Don't touch it. Could be dangerous.
It's addressed to me, said Aunt Petunia in a shaking voice. It's addressed to me. Vernon, look. Mrs. Petunia Dursley, the kitchen. Number 4, Privet Drive.
She caught her breath, horrified. The red envelope had begun to smoke. Open it, Harry urged her. Get it over with. It'll happen anyway.
No.
Aunt Petunia's hand was trembling. She looked wildly around the kitchen as though looking for an escape route, but it was too late. The envelope burst into flames. Aunt Petunia screamed and dropped it. An awful voice filled the kitchen, echoing in the confined space. Issuing from the burning letter on her table. I don't know what voice to do this voice in.
It's Dumbledore.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Okay. Remember my last, Petunia. Aunt Petunia looked as though she might faint. She sank into the chair beside Dudley, her face in her hands. The remains of the envelope smoldered into ash in the silence. What is this? Uncle Vernon said hoarsely. I don't... Petunia! Aunt Petunia said nothing. Dudley was staring stupidly at his mother, his mouth hanging open. The silence spiraled horribly. Harry was watching his aunt, utterly bewildered, his head throbbing to see fit to burst. Petunia, dear? Said Uncle Vernon timidly. Petunia? She raised her head. She was still trembling, and she swallowed.
The boy will have to stay, Vernon,
she said weakly. What?
He stays,
she said. She was not looking at Harry. She got to her feet again. But Petunia?
If we throw him out, the neighbors will talk,
she said. She was regaining her usual brisk, snappish manner rapidly, though she was still very pale.
They'll ask awkward questions and want to know whether he's gone. We'll have to keep him.
Uncle Vernon was deflating like an old tire. But Petunia, dear. Aunt Petunia ignored him. She turned to Harry.
You're to stay in your room, she said. You're not to leave the house. Now get to bed.
Harry didn't move. Who is that howler from?
Don't ask questions!
Aunt Petunia snapped. Are you in touch with wizards?
I told you to get to bed!
What did it mean? Remember the last what?
Go to bed!
How come?
You heard your aunt! Now get to bed!
Oh.
Wait.
That last one probably should be an Uncle Vernon's advice.
Uh-huh.
You heard your aunt! Now get to bed! And that is the end of chapter 2. And next we'll read chapter 3 called The Advance Guard.
How many chapters are in this book?
A billion? It's thicker than the last. There are 38. Including 870 pages. I told you, it'll be a year.
How can it be a year?
Uh-huh.
We've already done 2 chapters.
Do you want to know how long it took us to do the first, the last book? We did the first one December 3rd of last year. And the last one October 19th.
So almost a year. But we also had a breakup period in there.
True. Of what, a month?
Yeah, but we didn't read for a while.
That's true. I'll say goodnight to you on the recording because you're super cute. I love you very much. And you're going to be listening to this later, and you're going to be all sleepy and ready for bed. You're going to cuddle up. You're going to think about Harry, and then you're going to think about me. But you're mostly going to think about Harry, because he's cute. But, to be honest, I'm cuter than he is.
Yeah, you are.
And you're even cuter than both of us put together.
No.
Yes, you are. I love you very much. I want you to have a great sleep. Good night, kitty.